Welcome to Politics Explained by an Idiot, and boy am I excited for this episode. My name is Millen, the idiot himself, and if I can learn politics at a high level, so can you. First of all, to those who want to be doctors, I applaud you all. You all are embarking on a path to greatness, and I sincerely hope you reach your goals in whatever medical profession you partake. With that being said, politics is still a huge part of medicine today. And I know it sucks that politics has to be everywhere we go, especially in a field that seems completely separate from politics. But at the end of the day, medical politics is a huge topic in government. In this episode, I'm going to address some of the dark sides of medicine in regards to politics through thought experiments and critiquing how the United States views doctors and the healthcare system. Firstly, healthcare in the United States is an expense, and that's something we have to wrap our heads around. Just like any expense we pay, such as college, buying a house, getting phones and laptops, and food, healthcare is essentially a bill. What makes it different, however, is that healthcare is much more unpredictable. You can't exactly predict if you're going to have a stomach ulcer, cancer, or if you run into a wall in fifth grade resulting in a broken right arm. If you're wondering why that sounds a little too specific, that's because it may or may not have happened to me. Anyways, healthcare is unpredictable. And making sure you are insured is something most Americans strive to achieve. Let's have a thought experiment, shall we? Say you just got into a horrific car accident and you need to rush to the hospital. You end up just fine, but your friend named Bob has pieces of glass stuck to his arm and a pounding headache. Bob says he's dizzy and physically cannot think straight. You rush him to the nearest hospital and put your full trust in the healthcare officials, who are all technically strangers to you. You rush your friend to the front desk and they ask for your insurance card. You scramble to pull it out and hand it to them. They put you and Bob's information in their computer and calmly ask you to sit aside while they take care of Bob. Bob has an MRI scan and it turns out that there is minor brain damage, but the shards of glass need to be properly removed. He goes through intensive surgery and recovers in about 2 months. But all of a sudden, Bob gets all of these medical bills in his mail, bills he had no idea he was paying for. There was not a single person who guided him through this progress, and not only is he paying for the MRI scan and the surgery, but so many more things that are just unexplainable. But you're a citizen, of course, so you really have no way to refuse this payment. You have to comply, and it eventually leads to bills you cannot keep up with. It's really no wonder that 2/3 of Americans who file for bankruptcy cite medical issues as a key contributor to their financial downfall. Why is it that the richest country in the world has its people filing for bankruptcy for medical assistance, a right that everyone is entitled to as a human being? Well, one would think that if our healthcare system is so expensive, we must be getting the highest quality treatment, right? Well, you'd be wrong. The MRI scan and surgery that Bob got in America is the same MRI and surgery he would get in Belgium, Norway, Denmark, the United Kingdom, Germany, and basically any other developed nation that has a better healthcare system than we do. So why is it that our healthcare is exponentially more expensive than any other developed country in the world, despite America being the richest country? Well, the answer to that is because of the $3.8 trillion we spend on healthcare, the majority of it is budgeted towards private healthcare insurance companies. Naturally, in any competitive market, you want your business to be the most lucrative, which means rich for my fellow idiots out there. These private insurance companies negotiate with healthcare providers, namely clinics and hospitals, and prices will continuously increase for the profit of these private insurance companies. That's just the byproduct of a competitive free market regime. In fact, we are the only developed nation that doesn't offer some kind of universal healthcare system, and you wonder why ours is so expensive. If the government were to dictate prices with experienced doctors in the legislation-making process, they could demand for lower prices and set them for healthcare providers to sell them at. If the healthcare providers refused to implement those prices of healthcare services, which would be extremely fair to the people buying them, then it's their loss. They lose money and thousands of clients. The system I just described to you has been implemented in so many countries across the world, including the United Kingdom, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and more, and their healthcare systems are cheaper and much more efficient than the United States. Now let's talk about from a doctor's perspective. It's honestly more tragic than rewarding. Doctors really want to help people, but are essentially forced to be complacent in a system that makes Americans go into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. On paper, the income a doctor receives is pretty good, but that does not equate to their wealth. Let's start with doctors with a private practice. Their wealth accounts into all the personal expenses and taxes that they have to pay. These personal expenses include vaccines, which come out extremely frequently, legal battles with insurances, keeping patient loyalty, building payments, paying their employees, and countless more. The stress is unfair and not called for by private practitioners. And these prices rack up continuously because of the naturally overcompetitive culture that capitalism imposes in our healthcare system. So this leads to even more financial burden on the private practitioners. Now, what about doctors who work in hospitals? Well, they are severely underpaid for their labor. They go through intensive medical school and find a residency which usually underpays them a lot, considering that they are trained to be a doctor, one of the highest skilled professions in America. Worker productivity has increased exponentially, and that is especially true for doctors, since the price of our healthcare system is so expensive to the point where it can't even be brought down any cheaper. So, if our healthcare system is so expensive, non-private practice doctors should be getting paid a lot, right? Well, the total amount Americans pay their physicians represents only about 20% of the total national health spending. Of this total, close to half of it is absorbed by physician practice expenses, and that excludes their student loan debt. Some people argue that lowering the physician's paycheck will solve the expensive healthcare system, but according to the late Princeton professor of political economics, Uwe Reinhardt, even if all the physicians took a pay cut of 20%, the savings would amount to a minuscule 2% of our health bill. He says such a policy would leave an understandably wholly demoralized medical profession to which we so often look to save our lives. Clearly, we don't have our priorities set straight in our healthcare system and aren't paying our doctors the salary that they should be paid. Alright, I know that was a lot, but this is just the start to the politics of medicine and why our medical system is so flawed. Thank you for listening if you made it this far. It's not easy listening to an idiot for this long. Please feel free to shoot me a DM on my Instagram page, The Idiot's Insta, if you disagree with anything I said, and please have a memorable day.